Very important in these societies is the development of a professional priestly group who, observing the passages of the planets through the fixed stars, notice that they move in an impersonal mathematical order. And the concept emerges of a cosmic order which society should imitate. We're still imitating it. In our religious festivals, we imitate the order of the cosmic seasons. This was all developed by these priestly sages, and the king, translating heaven into earth, becomes, as it were, the solar god, the lunar god, or whatnot. This is the world of the old Bronze Age, that impersonal power personified in the king and so forth in the Near East. In Europe, we have rather the mythology of the individual against this social community. In the Orient, the Far East, and India, we have again the idea of the impersonal power without the idea of the God with a personal character and will. Now to conclude, in those Oriental systems, the idea of the ultimate power, the ultimate mystery, the ultimate being of the world is that it lies behind all human judgment. It is an impersonal process. You cannot ask, does it love me? Is it merciful? Is it just? Is it wrathful? These questions that come out of the biblical tradition. There is no idea there of the dominant despot monarch. There is the idea of the impersonal power. But that mystery which lies behind all human naming and judgment is the mystery of one's own being. You are that. Tattvam asi, we read in the Chandogya Upanishad, you are yourself that mystery. The goal of these religions, the Oriental religions, is to bring about in you a realization of your identity with that mystery. When you turn, however, to the Near East, with its idea of God the despot, you don't have the possibility of imagining yourself as one with that despot. The mystics have the same sense in the West that they have in the Orient of their identity with that mystery. But when they translate it into biblical language, you get something like what Christ said, I and the Father are one. That was heresy. He was crucified for saying that. And everyone who has said that has been wiped out in the terms of this social orthodoxy which requires you to accept this mythology. The mythologies of the West derived from the biblical tradition are mythologies of relationship. The relationship to God, not one's identity with God. And how is the relationship attained? Through the society, through participating in the society. In Judaism, God has a covenant with a certain people. Birth, as a member of that group, relates you to God, provided you keep his covenant. In the Christian tradition, Christ is true God and true man. You orient everybody, everything. This is true God and true man. No mystery at all. But here, we relate ourselves to God through our humanity, and Christ relates us to God through his divinity. And how do we relate ourselves to Christ? Through membership in his community. The claims of the community have here been greatly stressed. And now what's happened in our modern tradition? Science has disqualified these claims. Every cosmological claim of the Bible is refuted. This is a ridiculous image of the universe in contrast with what you see when you peer through a telescope in the Mount Wilson Observatory. It's ridiculous when you look into the abyss of the past opened by archaeologists. Our whole dependency on this concept that God is not in us, but in this society, has been completely wiped out. No one can honestly in himself say he believes these things. He fakes it. Well, it's okay. I like to be a Christian. I like to play tennis. But that's not the way we're taking it. And so we have a disorientation. Add to that the coming in of Oriental, pagan, Congolese, Eskimo ideas We are in a period that Nietzsche called the period of comparisons. There is no longer a culture horizon within which everybody believes the same thing. In other words, each one of us is thrown out into the forest of adventure with no law. There is no truth anymore that has been presented in such a way that you can accept it, either on the cosmological, the whole point of science is you don't believe these things. These are working hypotheses. The next bit of information may change it. We're taught not to hang on, but to stay open. Can the psyche handle it? Sociologically, the laws of yesterday are no longer the laws of today. I can't tell you, as a person who's been teaching at Sarah Lawrence College for 35 years, what I've seen in the way of the transformation of the erotic morality of young women. Things are different, that's all. And if you try to bring in what my students thought 30 years ago to judge those today, it just won't work. And consequently, psychologically, we're facing different problems. And now we come to the final point. This was recognized already in the 12th century. In 12th century Europe, where the Levantine religion of Christianity had been imposed on the European individualism, there was a terrific break from this. It is best represented, for you who are literary scholars, in the Arthurian romances, where these knights, parading as Christian knights, are actually Celtic gods, gods of the Tristan romance, where Tristan and Isolde, like earlier Heloise, said, "My love is my truth, and I will burn in hell for it."
Been listening to The Necessity of Rights, the fourth talk in the series entitled Man and Myth. This recording was authorized by the Joseph Campbell Foundation and produced by Electronic Educational Programs. Our theme music is by Acoustic Alchemy. For more information about the works of Joseph Campbell, please call the Foundation at 1-800-330-MYTH, 1-800-330-MYTH. Or you can contact us on the World Wide Web at jcf.org. I'm Maura Vaughan. Thank you for listening.